Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting Monday, November 1, 2021, at 3:00 PM.
3:00? Are we here? Are we ready?
I call the meeting to order, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Roll call, please.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Robert Giesey.
Here.
Larry Elbenishus.
Here.
Troy Lonsky.
Here.
All right. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The first item on our agenda today is public comment, and the Board of Commissioners will hear comments at this time about any item that is not on the agenda, and the chair has a discretion to limit the time of comment. So anybody here for public comment on an item not on the agenda today? Okay, nope. No public comment on non-agenda items, okay. We will move down to item two, which is the consent agenda. We have on our consent agenda today, last minute, the previous meeting minutes of approval, approval of the payroll claims for the period. There were nothing major in that. I think just the paying our insurance providers were payroll claims. Approval of accounts payable, oh, payroll claims, I'm sorry, yeah, payroll claims, I did review all of those. They all seem to be in order. Accounts payable, there weren't any payroll, accounts payable outside of our insurance, which is typical that we do that. Veteran Service Officer reports were in there, as well as the sheriff and the jail quarterly reports. All appear to be in order. Also, in the consent agenda is designating Joan and Cherie to share information with our Mid-America Benefits, basically HIPAA information, as they work with the health plan. Also, there is in the packet, some changes in precinct lines. That was required by recent legislation. There's just a couple of adjustments related to city limit changes in between Dakota City and South Sioux City and some rural residents, but minor changes, but it is all squared away. And then approval of the chair to sign Nebraska Fire Marshal conveyance compliance sheet for the elevator. There were two items in the elevator that needed to be repaired, one, or taken care of. One was related to the phone, and one was related to a fire extinguisher. Both of those items have been handled and are now in compliance. So that is the consent agenda items. Any questions on those items or detail, additional details that you're wondering about?
So moved on the consent agenda.
Okay, Scott, a motion to approve this consent agenda items?
I'll second.
And, okay, Scott, and got a second on that from Bob. Any other questions? Scott, Bob, go ahead and take a roll.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes. Okay, now down to new business. The first item on new business is a award bids for the Fair Meadows overlay. And I think we have bids on that, because Elaine's not here today. Do you have those, Troy? Okay, we'll look at those bids.
Which roads Fair Meadows? I should know, and I do know, but I can't recall. Is it?
I think it's the first. I think it's like that first one.
Oh, it's the first one?
It's like the first one or second one.
Lake Alanoosa, the delay, it's a fall line.
Yeah.
And I think it's the next one on the left, if you're going west on Sawmill.
Yeah, that's Lake.
It was not the first, it's the second. Once you're at.
So if you go down Lake Avenue.
Yeah.
On South Sioux, and you turn right.
On Sawmill.
Then you're on Sawmill, and then you turn left, your first left.
First or second, I think it's the first. I'm sure it is.
It's not the one with the cul-de-sac?
No, huh?
No, okay, so it is the first one then.
Okay, and it looks like we have, for the Fair Meadows Drive overlay project, we have Knife River and Barclay Asphalt have two bids. Okay to open them?
Yep. Okay. Okay, there's a sheet in here for that.
So we only have two?
We have two, yep.
Frank is not involved.
And the Fair Meadows project will consist of a 2-inch overlay with an approximate length of 1,460 feet and a width of 18 feet. Overlay will start an old Mildred Road and continue south to Tompkins Drive slope, all driveways to match, patching and leveling, and mill the existing surface and start endpoints. Project must be completed by June 1st, 2022. Okay.
What's that?
Okay, the first one I've opened is from Barclay Asphalt. And that one is $31,296 even.
Did it put a start date on that?
It says all work to be completed by June 1st, 2022.
They haven't ready.
It doesn't say a start date.
So we don't know if it'll be this fall or next spring.
Okay, the second bid is from Knife River, and it is $36,375.69.
Same footage, same depth, same width?
The approximate length, both of them is 1,460 feet, and the width of 18 feet, so it's the same on both estimates.
Okay. So there's, the subject, everything is going to be the same, so it's basically just a pricing difference? The timing, neither one of them had the timing difference as far as the start date? Larry was...
Well, what I was getting at, if they had a start date of, say, November 10th, we'd want to get the contract signed like that. But...
Neither one of them...
And we didn't really specify that.
We called to see if anyone is in the audience.
Is anybody in the audience from Barclay or Knife River?
Knife River.
Okay.
I should have had a start date on there of like May or June on mine, but...
Oh, so next spring?
It would have been fall.
Next spring, okay. I guess the key is it's has to be done by June 1, so they're starting next spring.
But is that a 2-day project?
Approximately.
Okay. Road Department, do we need to make a motion on that, or do we look at the other one at this?
Should we do each one separately?
Yep.
Yes.
Looks like we got them as a separate item on our agenda.
So, I guess I'll make a motion for Barclay Asphalt at the low bid of $31,296.
Okay, Troy made a motion. I can second that. Any questions? Barclay's out of Homer. I believe, aren't they not?
No.
Sioux City. They're Sioux City.
Sioux City?
Sioux City.
Okay. Any questions or comments on those bids and the motion? A motion and a second to accept the Barclay Asphalt bid for $31,296. Should we do a roll call on that?
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
All right. Item number B under new business, open and award the bid for the old sawmill overlay. Also a form in your packet for that.
First one is from Barclay Asphalt, and the bid on that is $34,242, a length of 875 feet, width of 24 feet, starting at Lake Avenue, continuing east to concrete on Old Sawmill Road. 3-inch new surface to the existing road, patching and leveling, slope all driveways to match, mill and existing concrete at start and end points. That's Barkley Asphalt.
Okay.
It is $34,242. Knife River. And they are $39,283.81. And they have the same approximate feet and same everything.
Just two for that one as well?
Yep, that's all we have. Okay, we just have Knife River and Barkley Asphalt on those two.
All right.
So I would make the motion that Barkley Asphalt get awarded that.
Second.
And that has it, those two, June 1, 2022, is all work completed by.
So both these projects will be done?
Second.
First of June, okay. So Troy, Larry seconded. Any other questions or comments regarding those bids and that project, the Old Sawmill project? If not, we will call roll on that one.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Okay. So two road improvement projects for next year. Good.
Yeah, like I said, maybe we should have the road department get a hold of it, make certain they don't want to start here in the next week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, make sure that because Barkley wasn't here.
They need to work the things a year.
So they can firm up the plan with Barkley. Right. Okay. Firm up the plan.
And
good
if they
idea.
Don't want to start, no big deal. I mean, mm-hmm. It's going to be June, that's fine.
Just let them know it's been approved and they can start it when they want.
Yeah.
So Jolene and maybe connect with them on that. Jolene and Brent. Okay, perfect. All right, item number C under new business is Watt Bedharam of Siouxland Inc. Is Watt here? No. There is a request in your packet. It appears they are looking to do an event on December 24th, which is Christmas Eve, from 5 p.m. to midnight at the South Sioux City Senior Center, and are requesting to be able to serve alcohol at that event. It will be a fundraising event with 150 people. I know they've done fundraiser events before, but typically theirs are in the summer at their church, I believe. So this is a little different.
Is this the people that was just here?
Yes.
This summer, and they did the, I think you went to their event, didn't you, Scott?
I did go to that.
I think you did say you went.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming they've already checked with the Senior Citizen Center and got it rented. So it's just a liquor license, is that what they need?
Yes.
Yes.
And they have a certificate of insurance.
On the back? Yep. Certificate of liability insurance is on the back.
Yeah.
Any questions regarding that, or that group, or liquor license?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Like I said, I think they run a great operation.
Mm-hmm.
They're good people, and I understand the money situation that they're up against. But I'll make a motion to approve the special Disney liquor license for the fundraiser at 1501 West 29th on the 24th of December from 5 to midnight.
Thanks, Scott. You have a second? I can. Oh, Larry seconded. Okay, Larry seconded. Any other questions or comments on their event? Okay. Roll call on that.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay. Item number D on the agenda is Shrive Hatterley Architecture. They're here to update us. They were here back in August, I believe, and they were going to do some updates on the plan and cost estimates, schematic design. Someone here to present on that. Hello.
Joan, can I bring this data? You asked for some hard copies.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you want one?
No, I don't want one. Just take it as a roll. There you go. Got it?
I do.
Okay.
This one.
Okay, I'm Ron Hines from Tri Battery. Thank you for meeting with us today. And
And as the board requested, what we're delivering today is a schematic design package for the design of the new jail expansion. Basically, the 8.5 by 11 documents are the project requirements, which kind of describe the project code requirements, materials, mechanical, electrical systems that are being extended or new, that kind of thing. And then the larger documents, 11 by 17, are the status of drawings. That's what you see with this. This probably should be considered as requested and contracted about a 20% completion of the design for the jail expansion. In this, he also asked that we have updated opinion of cost, and so that is at the very end of your 8.5 by 11 documents. So it's like this.
Him.
At the end of this, and so we've done some investigation, contacted some vendors for concrete jail cells, concrete wall panels, which is what the jail expansion is going to be constructed of, and updated this opinion of cost for you today. So if you look at that, turn to that, you can see that the total cost for construction, item A, is at $11,103,524. And that's about $555 square foot. And then after that, we've gone through and added the project soft costs, which would be considered as our fees, ME commissioning, reimbursables, things like a project contingency for design and construction, geotechnical investigation that we already have going on right now with the local entity here to do that, and then things like third-party testing, things like what it costs you to print bidding documents and stuff like that would be considered project soft costs. And so with that, we would, the opinion is that currently we are at $12,983,545. And then there in the bottom in the blue, what we just did was give you a 5% low range, 5% high range for the project. So with that, any questions?
Does that include putting the parking lot in over there too?
Yes,
it does.
Yeah.
We were just discussing that parking lot, and if you look on those prints, it's very large. I don't know if we need that whole parking, but it would be more parking for the court.
On the second sheet.
Mm-hmm. What about?
So we could, if we reduce that, we perhaps could save some money there.
I don't think you can ever have enough parking.
Well, I know it's pretty tight over there.
Does it include cost of a construction manager, a general manager, or something like that?
Yes, I put that in there and updated that, yes.
What item is that on this soft? Or is that not in the soft cost?
I did itemize that because you specifically asked for it. It is an estimated cost, and it's at, sorry, I'm not going to be here. It'd be a industry, you know, usually it's about a 4% fee of the construction cost, but obviously that will be negotiated with construction manager what their costs are associated with that. So,
on the contingency line there, that 5%
here.
No, that's on line item 5 right here.
Oh, there, okay.
Line item 5.
Okay.
And again, that's an estimated cost to be negotiated with the construction manager.
What happened to the person who used a general contractor?
If you use a general contractor, basically the downside of that is the month's delay of the project at this point, to be quite honest with you. So with the construction manager, we can we can issue a bid package. You know, we can get them on board for early on cost estimating, and then we can issue a building shell and footing and foundation package that they can bid out in January. And then from that, they can order materials, have materials coming, and start construction when the spring allows us to do that. Otherwise, with the whole, putting the whole package together all at once and sending it out to negotiate it with a general contractor, that would be sometime in March before you would even get the bids out for about a 4-week bid process. So it could be end of March before you even get that cost.
In talking to two general contractors, we can't get precast till late next year. So you don't.
The precast, some of the materials are out there a ways. The precast is, and some of the steel are issues right now. You know, that climate or providing material climate changes month to month. So,
what do you think? I mean, just guessing, of course. But what do you think the estimated completion date would be if you started in the spring, the way things are in this atmosphere?
It would be probably about a 12-month process.
About a year.
10 to 12 months, yeah.
So the original, I know when we talked back in August, I think the estimate was between 10.5 and 11.5 million. So
yes.
Is this 20, it's about a 20% increase. And cost, is it related to materials and the backlogs, or?
It is. That's part of it. I mean, that's a big part of the increase. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Ma'am, initially when I was doing this with the Marshals, that bid was in August. So that's when we finally stopped chasing the caps and went to this per diem upgrade. So. When we were working this out, that's the number I was going off of, and it's 6 months later, so
yeah.
It went up a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, there's more beds in this jail than what I initially knew.
I
was thinking 117. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, what's the number?
Right now, we have 116 plus an additional for processing and things like that. 117.
Is that figuring two people per? Or bunk beds in each room?
No, that's cells.
That's cells. That's cells.
Yeah. Well, it's beds. So,
yes.
Yeah.
It's beds.
So, that's how many bodies we can hold.
Two in each.
Yeah. Just like the existing gym.
Yeah.
So, there's 30 plus beds in there that I can pretty much guarantee will keep full at that $150 per diem. So, when we shoot what the revenue is from the per diem, we're only shooting at 85, which is the contract guarantee, but I still got 30 plus beds in there that they're begging for right now. So, meaning there'll be more revenue than just those 85.
So the break even on the, with the federal contract wouldn't necessarily work, but what you're saying is there'd be other people that would potentially
that we didn't figure into it, and the commissary, and of course there's a lot of transport money that comes in from that, and that's not figured into any of it. And also that's where that part of that Marshals contract comes in. So when I talked to them, they said if it goes over or something, we can negotiate a couple more months maybe to keep that $150 rate going to make up for what it's went over. And of course that was in August, so that's already something I should probably be calling and talking to them about.
What I read in that, after the 30 months, they don't have to use the facility.
There is a part in there, sir, that says that, but the jail's built and paid for.
So what do we do if we can't make any money with the feds?
If the federal inmates dry up, I'd be very surprised. I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll still get our jail built and paid for. We're going to need it eventually. Mr. Elvinich, I don't see that. In all the years I've been in this, I've never had less inmates. It's always more.
Are we at maximum right now?
Yes. We stay at maximum because we're housing feds. if we were not doing that, if we were over full and wasn't housing the bids, I would have never got this to go through, because that was one of the things they asked me. If we're building this for the county, we're not doing this. We need this for our marshals for 10 years. We want to guarantee that we have room for our marshals for 10 years. If we're building it for your inmates, we don't want to do this. I said, we've got room for our inmates right now. We don't need more room for our inmates. We need room for you guys. You guys are the ones that get shorted on beds, not county inmates.
Because the existing jail, and I've asked this question, I think 100 times, it's 100, is it 138, 42?
36.
Okay, and the last time I read the jail report, the average was 107, 109, give or take, is what it's
been. I was like 102 or 3.
We try to keep some open, and you got to remember, some of those beds are for work release and the infirmary and stuff. We count them all, but we don't necessarily use them all like that. So now that we're getting work release back, those beds are being tucked up in that work release area.
So let's just say, for instance, and this is a question I've asked before, just to clarify. Let's say, for instance, we had a big, massive breakout of something, and we had to bring in 50 people, okay? So then what happens is one of two things. You got to get rid of the feds, okay? And then you house the county people, correct? And if you become overabundance, then you start paying to
house
out of the county. Okay, I think that was the whole point of the original jail, that where we're at now, we're in this room that we're sitting, is the reason why we did the jail originally, because it was so expensive
to house outside
of county, correct?
Okay. It's not just the expense of the daily per diem, it's the transport. So,
right.
You know, the closest jail to here, we're housing our inmates in another jail. We're doing all these transports for court and whatever else. And luckily, they built the jail big enough, we haven't had to do that, so.
But with Sioux City building 400 beds and doubling what their current capacity is downtown, it looks to me like they'd be taking all kinds of federal prisoners just to fill it up. And we'd lose our guys.
We have a contract. They went with us for a reason.
So they can get out of the contract too.
Well, you know, they can't get out of it before it's paid for.
This agreement shall terminate if either party provides 120 days advance written notice to the other party.
It says that on the contract.
Yes. Did you read the contract?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
But it also says that, like, after that 30 months, which we're going to need a lot of years after that, it also says that they don't really necessarily have to use any of the beds.
So,
then after that, when you say that 10-year period, you know?
I understand where you're coming from when you're saying that.
My fear is that they'll go build a federal prison in Lincoln of 10,000 prisoners, and then we'll be sitting high and dry. But yet they will still have to pay for it. The taxpayers will.
We've never had this jail where we haven't needed to house for federal inmates if we could. There was a time when it was under a corrections board that we stopped doing that, but they've always needed it. They still need it. If I was 40 inmates down on county inmates, I guarantee you in 2 days I'd have them 40 feds in here. They're very desperate for that space, and they have been for many, many years, so.
That's why I think they're just going to build their own, be done with it, messing around with little deals like this.
Well, if I had ever even seen, how many years have you been doing this?
38. It is the contract that you have with the federal government for the beds and paying you now. I mean, I can't say that I've ever seen a contract as sweet as that for Dakota County.
So. And I can't, me personally, it's always in the back of your mind, but I can't see them going and building their own just because of the fact that, you know, why would they want the burden? You know, it's no different than all your big corporations, your Walmarts. I mean, they don't own any of the buildings. You know, all the post offices in the country, they don't own the buildings. You know, they just lease them. They don't have to deal with them, you know, so.
If you guys, if this was ICE making this deal, I wouldn't go for it.
See, there's an example. See, we don't even have ICE prisoners anymore. We used to have.
Well, they did, but they stopped. And that's why I said, if it was ICE, I wouldn't even consider it.
See, that's the problem we have with ICE. I mean, suppose the feds do. Federal marshal might say, well, sorry, we got some other plans. We're going to put them out somewhere else.
Because the ICE would be a very small piece of the
depends.
Big pie.
It was so small, it didn't even really, I mean.
Where these, the federal ones, I mean, you're talking.
Yeah, all the time I've been in the jail, even in Thurston County, I could call up the feds and fill the beds up if you wanted. They're always desperate for, whether Woodbury bills or not. Because we're not just talking about Iowa, we're talking about Nebraska too. We're not even discussing Omaha's waiting for us to get this bill.
Or Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls also ran across the tarmac to meet Walsh here 2 weeks ago begging.
Well, I know that when Deputy Decker was in the last meeting, he really stressed a lot on the Sioux Falls people as well.
And they just built, they just added on in Yankton, and they're still looking for beds. Sioux Falls, South Dakota has more federal inmates than Iowa and Nebraska. So, you know, I
think it's wonderful, Sheriff, that you've used our extra space to bring in some extra revenue. I'm apprehensive about building an entire facility for the benefit of the feds. And I'm not saying that they couldn't fill it, but giving them, they have the flexibility to do what they want, and we're the ones holding the bag. And I mean, we're the ones at risk if it doesn't. And from what I read in the national level, restitution or incarceration rates are going down. They're looking to community rehabilitation and restitution. So each administration changes, I know, but I'm just concerned about that general trend that I'm seeing from the last 10 years. It's incarcerations are going down and community stuff is going up.
You know, like you've been on the corrections board, Bob, you've been here, and Joan, you've been here a while. Always the dream was to get a contract with the feds. Remember how we always talked about if we could just get them to commit, and I did that.
Well, we do have a contract with them. I mean, that was good what you did and bumped us up to 80 immediately, so that was fabulous.
Also, there's another factor that we're not thinking about. They lose 35 to 40% of their bed space after the first of the year. So the feds aren't going to be allowed to house in any private prisons anymore. So Omaha's lost. They're housed down at Fort Leavenworth in the private prison down there. They can't do that anymore. So that's what this push was for this. That's why they came back with this deal that I had. It said, we don't know what we're going to do. So
how do these private prisons, I mean, they're obviously out there. Are they just trying to get themselves requalified? I guess that was an administration decision.
That was I'm assuming that was an executive order. I don't know that positively. I've just taken the word from the marshals. And that ends at the first of the year with housing of federal inmates in a private prison.
Okay. I was thinking that started in January of 2021, but it just starts in January of 2022.
Chris, okay. How much does it cost us to have a federal prisoner per day?
So basically they're all combined, and when I give you them reports, it'll say 65 on that jail report. It'll tell you, and that's what I did every month, is that's what that number was, how much it cost. But here's the thing with the federals. We don't pay for medical and stuff for federal inmates.
It says that
county
contract,
inmates, we do.
It says that contract we got, I don't have it with me.
So in that contract, it says that we'll pay for day-to-day stuff, like I got a headache, can I get an aspirin?
Yeah.
But when it comes to medical procedures and stuff, we don't pay for that.
Yeah,
like we do
they go
now.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they can also give them medications that are expensive.
And we don't pay for medications.
Matter of fact, when the guy goes out and leaves here, we got to send him out with a pocket full of pills and pay his copay.
So if it's a federal inmate, we don't.
It says that right in the federal contract.
Well, so if it's a we don't pay for prescriptions for federal inmates. We don't.
But
so if it's something
expense,
that they brought with them.
What it says at the Cole County expense, what it says. Did we ever get a signed contract from the U.S. Marshals? The copy I got a week ago is not signed.
It's filed with my clerk's signature files.
I think we signed it, but I don't know if they signed it.
You signed it.
Yeah,
she signed it.
So we could get that increase per diem, so we could do the research and dig in and do all this.
But they never dated.
No, they did. The one they gave to Joan is, I don't know if she gave you the original.
Okay.
Well, she took it out of file.
Yeah.
And gave me a copy of it.
And then after the 30 months, it goes back down to the $80.
Signature, right down the front, Joan.
Yeah, I see that.
Does this bid also take into account the, I know you mentioned that there's going to be electrical and mechanical updates that we'd have to do with the old if we did this to connect to the new, because there was, does it have all that?
There are some systems we are connecting to, some that are new, so yeah, it does take into account.
Upgrading the old facility to the new electrical mechanical.
Well, I believe we are extending the electrical into the new building. It's not a, and we will be adding components to that existing electrical system, yes.
So this is a final approved construction plan?
It's not final approved, it's a schematic design, so it's 20% complete at this time. Right now we are scheduled to, on December 2nd, issue a design development package, which will be about 40 to 45% complete, which is another price check at that time. And then the first bid package that we issue for the building shell, footings and foundations, is scheduled for January 20th to get that out, so that the construction manager can bid that package out.
See, what I don't understand is if this project was bid as an alternate in 05, mm-hmm. where's the completed set of plans that the people bid on?
Well, we have a set of those. You probably should too, because I think we got that from the sheriff.
We do.
But it, basically, it's it was 2005. And you should have a set of PDFs of that. But that set of plans has to be updated. We have to, for example, the wall panels that were built on that particular project are 10-inch, I believe. We have to do 12-inch panels. We have to update energy code things. We have to, new systems, stuff like that. You can't use everything that's in that set of plans.
So they're worthless. We paid for them back then, and they're absolutely no good for them.
That is correct. Pretty much.
At the time they were.
So yeah. We got to spend another $1 million to get another set of plans.
Pretty much, well, at least 75% of that, yes.
A lot of money.
And the rest of that would be during construction administration, where we'd be on site.
You guys, the construction management company, I know that you're apprehensive about that, but that's the initial part of this, and that gets us to the point where we got it down to exactly what the costs are. That's not for the whole job. That's for all this pre-planning stuff, and right now we're doing this stuff without nobody planning that, because that construction management company's not there. So if it gets to the point down the road and they bring in their report, and it's something that you guys are still apprehensive about, but at least we've got it all lined up, and we're not just doing half of it and leaving the rest out there hanging, because right now I don't know what's going on. And also, it's the interest rate and stuff, it's not going to go down from here. It's only going to go up. Did that fall off?
Yeah.
When I think of a general contractor, I think of a general contractor as, building a house. When I think of a construction manager, you're building.
It's a big deal, yeah.
It's a big deal.
I don't think a house builder built this building.
No,
I don't think so. As far as
said,
a general contractor?
Yeah.
No. But the old the existing jail was a general contractor, correct?
Well, I would imagine so. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this building surely would have been.
Right. This was built in the 70s.
Yeah. In fact, I don't know I'll be honest with you, I'm not taking nothing from your firm, but I don't know why you as architects can't put together a final set of plans and specifications that could be used to bid out a project. I don't understand that.
We certainly can. And again, that the schedule for that, to get that completed, would be in March. So, and then we would have to change our contract a little bit, so.
To change what part?
Well, the approach of the project originally was that we would, we have an AIA agreement, which is basically, the AIA agreement is using a construction manager.
Right.
And that was kind of the strategy of the project for Dakota County, to use a construction manager for the benefits of a fast-track project. And so that's how our contract is written right now, to use a construction manager.
And the way I understand that is that construction manager can go out and go to someone he's worked with before and say, how much you want to do this electrical? How much you want to do this sewer?
They have public laws that they have to comply with.
You can take that one guy and say, well, how about getting it done by March 1st? How much would it cost? Well, twice as much. And we're not going to know the difference, whether it's a good price or a bad price. And the way that's written, we as the county, we are the contractor. The construction manager and your firm has no liability whatsoever. We're the ones that got all the subcontractors send the bills to us, we review them and pay them. Well, we as a body aren't going to know whether it's right or wrong. And you said yourself, you don't have time to jack with it.
With the construction management, with a general contractor, I don't know.
See, well, then the general contractor does that stuff.
Well, it's actually construction management in this case.
It's construction management, and the construction manager has public bidding laws to comply with, where they have to have competitive bids, and so there'll be three electrical, for example, contractors bid on that particular aspect of that package for this project. So there will be some requirements that are public bidding laws for that.
See, that's part of my biggest concern is cost don't seem to be an issue. Because we want to get this thing done so quick, and the interest is going to go up, but material costs may go clear down. So just offset it. It may be cheaper if we don't have to 3/4 inch sheeting right today. Well, not today so much. We was up to $60 a square. I mean, the sheet today is down like about 22. Trust me. Right, not that this stuff, that stuff's not going to get incorporated in this project, but the trusses, wooden trusses, they're still high priced. They're 30% higher than they were, should be, from a year ago. And
that's where the crystal ball comes in.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And again, you guys, here's what I'm nervous of. If I ruin the relationship with the marshals right now, right in the middle of this, I don't know if we'll be housing marshals at all. Because this will go to another jail. This will go somewhere else and they'll get it. So that's why I kept this, you know, Jen, I went up and talked to you about it last summer. Remember we sat and was.
That was a CAPS program.
And that's when it was still, that was just before this first bid came out, if you remember, and that was under the CAPS program. Mm-hmm. And that was even gonna be tougher to get. Mm-hmm. They were trying, but it just wasn't gonna fly.
So there are other jails available around here to take them?
I'm sure that if there's another jail will take this deal, I guarantee O'Brien County would do it right now. I guarantee you another jail would do it. The problem now is manpower in these smaller rural areas, and we just happen to be in an area where it isn't a problem like, you know, one of these counties. Oh, look at what Tecumseh's dealing with right now with their manpower at their prison. They can't get anybody to work there. They're paying outrageous amounts of money, but they build it in an area where there's not a bed population, so they're not, you know, here we're a little better off because we got the tri-state area.
You know,
so.
Sheriff, and I've said many of times over the years that the federal inmates helps cash flow that jail. It would not cash flow if you did not have the federal inmates.
You're right.
It wouldn't. We would be broke. You would be in the red because it's a crapshoot. Everything's a crapshoot when it comes to the jail. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, I've walked in the jail before where a judge threw a gal in for pregnancy, or not pregnancy, but for shoplifting, and she was 9.5 months pregnant, and there she is. I'm just like, Jesus, good God, get her out of here. I mean, because if she has that kid, well, she's here, guess who's paying for it? The taxpayers, you know? So, yeah, that jail's a crapshoot. I've said that a lot of times.
But I can tell you, in the years I've been in this, you guys, if it alleviated anything, I've never, not saying that society doesn't change and federal crimes don't happen anymore, but I'm telling you that I know that Iowa's added AGs, or added USAs, and there's other districts that's added USAs. It's not backing down. It's actually getting worse. So if it's, you know, if it was a feedlot and we were talking about cattle, I'd say, yeah, maybe people will quit eating beef. But if that was the case, I don't think that's going to happen in our lifetime. But you're right, you know. I can't 100% stand here and say, even though we got a contract with them, that. But I can say I've never felt.
If it ain't signed, we don't have a contract with them.
It's signed.
It is?
Yeah.
He has a copy of the signed one, he said. Yeah. I guess I'm concerned this is up 20% from where we thought 60 days ago, and just in general. Is that county business to build a facility for a federal? For federal, I guess, specifically for that audience. I mean, I love what you've been doing and taking our extra space and helping the budgets, but to do a whole facility and hire a whole new staff specifically for federal inmates.
If you call a Hall County, that's what they've been doing for the last 10 years.
They built a facility
for? They're doing it with ICE.
They took all of our ICE guys.
There isn't any ICE guys in the past 96, 90.
Are you saying nice guys or ICE guys?
ICE.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, immigration.
Oh, I see it's Jamie.
Yeah, I know.
And it looks like when the numbers were run, it looks like it has to be over half full to cash flow. I mean, if this went forward, if it's not over half full.
If you look at the contract, it says they'll pay for them whether they're full or not.
Oh, no, I mean, once you get past 30 months.
Oh, yeah.
If there's not, I mean, if there's a whole staff and a whole facility that has to be funded by.
So if I understand this right, you guys are, your concern is that we're going to run out of federal inmates. Is that basically what you're saying? Is
that they can, this is, it's their choice. We're taking the risk. The county would be taking the risk, and $12 to $14 million worth of debt on the county, when it's really for the benefits of the Fed, is where my concern comes in. If it's really, why aren't they funding it themselves, fronting the money rather than waiting for it to be built and then they'll pay, and then we'll hope that there's enough people. And you know, this is like 3, 4, 5 years down the road. I mean, we've got a federal government that's in a budget crisis. Every October, we're dealing with we're going to shut down the government. It's going to be dealing with it in December. I mean, I know of agencies that they find out on Monday that their office has been closed, and they either have to move to here to keep their jobs. I mean, I think our government is, I'm not saying it's not trustworthy, but they're doing things to consolidate and change for budget deficit reasons. And what's to say that they're going to be able to continue for 5 years, 7 years?
I would say history. Mm-hmm. Would say that that's not going to happen. When federal government shuts down, they don't shut down paying for their inmates.
I think what I've been reading is they're trying to get them back out into community restitution and reprogramming, because it's really expensive to have them in a prison system, because you're feeding them, you're housing them, you're taking care of them. You know, you're not really getting them back in the community. Where, look at our unemployment rate. It's the lowest it's been in, you know, I mean, getting them back into the workforce. I guess I read that the trends are going away from incarceration towards community.
I think those numbers are BS.
Been reading
because,
that for 30 years.
I mean, yeah. And all joking aside, I mean, how can our unemployment rate be that low when every business you go to, there's a sign, help, you're in Phoenix, you're in Vegas, you're in Houston, I don't care where you're at, everybody's looking for help, so I don't know how unemployment rate can be that low. But I don't know. I think what Sheriff's trying to do is, and I know Jones put the numbers to it, mm-hmm. We're trying to look over the next 10 years of the money that the county's able to generate for revenue, so is what also that we're looking at. For the $150 a day for the beds.
Down to 80 after 30.
After the 30 months, the 80. But like I said, folks, I just know that it's either it's a go or it's a no. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's supposedly we've signed the contract with the marshals already. If sheriff has to go back to them and say, hey, guess what? They decided against it. We're not going to do it. And then just see where it goes, I guess. I guess I don't know what to say. I mean, it just seems like we're beating the same drum. Every meeting, it seems like we're beating the same drum. And it just seems like, I think it's pretty cut and dry. The little bit that I understand, know what's going on here, the way people are thinking. And I think that we know where we're going with this. And I think it's going nowhere in a hurry,
Scott. Joan, what's the number after the 30-month contract? What is that number? What is that with the increased per diem now? What do we take in?
It would be 80
after the 30 months.
So 30 like months, 10, so you'd have to figure
10, 0, 5, 0 if they don't take any debt. They don't have.
We have the contract right now.
After 30 months.
I'm saying
we got a contract that they can if they want to.
Right, but I'm saying the 30. I'm just talking about 30 month.
During the 30-month period.
I'm talking
right at
30 months.
$11 million.
It'll generate.
It's right at $11 million.
$11 million.
Yeah, but that's at 150. But it costs us more than $50 to house them. So you're only getting $100. So you cut that figure, the $12,000 figure, down to $7 million. $12 million down to $7 million. The way my figures figured out.
But we don't have any increased labor costs.
We do too. We got to hire 15 more people and buy 2 more cars. And
no, I'm still talking the 30 month.
In the 30 months, yeah, we got somebody to take care of the jail.
We got to pay interest on the loan. But there's a lot of blue sky value here. Me being a businessman, I take a lot of risks, but I don't see how this is a risk. I mean, this is the taxpayers' money. We're spending our taxpayers' money, the people that voted us in office. And I have a problem taking this large of risk with this amount of money. That, I mean, it could work out great and it could not. But right here, this agreement shall terminate if either party provides 120 days advance written notice to the other party. That worries me.
And it says the same thing about the transportation of them. They can furnish the transportation part of it after notice, tell us that we'll transport our prisoners ourselves. That 120 days shows up in several times in that contract. And I guess one thing that really bothered me more than anything is that we want to take this out of town to other contractors when we got local contractors, general contractors here in town that work with subcontractors daily, and why we can't concentrate our efforts on their tax dollars. They pay taxes here. I mean, there's people that live in Homer and Emerson, Hubbard, Waterbury, all over Dakota City and South Sioux that work for the general contractors in this area. Now, why do we want to go to Lincoln or Omaha or Sioux Falls or Des Moines or who knows where and bring in people to do this job?
Can I speak to that, Sheriff?
Absolutely.
Well, that is one of the things about the CM that's been before you to be your construction manager, is that they are familiar with this area. They're familiar with local contractors, qualified contractors that will be bidding these bid packages. So,
how many projects have they done here?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. But
how would they know our guys? People that are subcontractors here are from Lincoln, right?
Omaha. Yeah, and I'm sure they've worked on several projects in the Sioux City area. You can ask them. They are present here today if you'd like to talk with them.
Is the 13,538,622 a not to exceed number?
That is a variable that takes the 12 million construction costs, 12,009,000, whatever, and adds 5% to it. It's just a variable of, it could be 5% less, it could be 5% more. Sure.
Right. And your company did the one in Washington County, the jail?
No, but I believe that the construction manager for that was the one that's been presented before you to do that.
So anything, anything else on item D related to the program? Schematic design, probable cost? What other questions do we have, gentlemen?
I guess where we at cost-wise, that's up to date. Dollars and cents.
We would.
How much have we spent to this point?
Yeah, in the contract, it says that it'll be, the schematic design is 20%. And so if you terminate the contract, then we would have to evaluate if there's any additional to that 20%. So that would be approximately, just rounding it off, $200,000.
And that's kind of what we asked for, or I did, way back.
Yeah, that we go through the 20%, or that we go through the schematic design, present this to you.
And you said 200.
To give us the information to make a decision, yeah.
And that's, another thing about local people, engineering and design, and we don't know, we'll get charged for you guys being here today. Mileage and time and things like that, where if we're dealing with local people, they're just down the street. I mean, they could be here in 5 minutes, you know? And as a general contractor, from their scenario, they put a job trailer on their site, have a job superintendent to handle, and they got a phone, and they take care of the matters at no cost, so.
Well, as far as design goes, we do design all over the nation, and our fees are competitive, and so I don't know that you have a local person with the expertise of a law enforcement here that can do the design, maybe you do, but.
One down the avenue has built two of them, one in Pender, and then one over in Fort Dodge. And W.A. Klinger, they can build about anything you put in front of them. I'm serious. You probably heard of me, they go all over the country. Anyway, that's about all I got to say.
And like I said, I think we've done a lot of research, and I want to thank you for that, and thank the sheriff for digging into this, but I think there's some reservations by us here, and I think I know, Sheriff, when you talked to the press in the last few weeks, you've asked people to come forward and present their cases. Honestly, everybody that contacted me was very apprehensive about adding on to our jail. I mean, I was surprised.
I don't think I've heard one, and probably the 45 people that called me in the last 3 weeks, I've heard one person say why. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it probably goes both ways.
Yeah, it probably does. It probably does. I mean, because I know you asked people to connect with their with the commissioners, and those that connected with me were apprehensive.
I only had two people call me, so they must not figure I count, I guess.
Well, I've had zero call me, so.
You won't put your phone number in the goddamn paper.
We'll give it to them. I think as a business owner and a homeowner, I think they can find me if they really want to find me.
Is there any public here today that wants to talk to this, or we could have a public hearing about this? I mean, I feel like we really need to get input, because it's a big decision, taking on $12 to $14 million worth of debt, on county debt, for the benefit of the government.
Me personally, I think a public hearing would be pointless. I think everybody has their mindset of what they want here. So I think that we need to make a decision today. Not a decision today, but obviously the project people are here today, and then obviously if we're not taking that route, I'd have to say this is a dead horse.
You know, because of how I got the revenue raised from the marshals to pay for the construction management and stuff, we're already getting that money. I would like to see them at least do the initial planning like what we was supposed to do in the first place. And at least we got a better ballpark idea on the money. Now, if you guys think that the feds are gonna dry up and we're not gonna have any inmates, I guess it's all in context. If you've been in this business this long, you know that that's not gonna happen, whether they put them out on the street or not. That's, look what happens when they do that.
Criminals will always be criminals.
Yes. If we're counting on having less criminals, I can tell you that I don't know of anybody that's, I don't think that trend has ever went down. It's only
do they bond them out, or, I mean, is that?
They're to the point now they're so desperate for beds, they have been for many years, that they're trying not to incarcerate anybody, but there's a lot of federal inmates. There's a lot of, when they add more USAs in a state, in a district, that means there's more prosecutors. It'd be like us adding 5 or 6 more county attorneys. So.
I think up in Minneapolis, you know, they're trying to abolish the police.
Have you been up there lately?
They'll vote on.
Go for a drive up there.
20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to think. I mean, who knows what could happen down the road here.
But I do know, you know, again, in context, a number of years ago, we were pretty desperate in this county. So Scott's right. It's the federal inmates has actually kind of helped us offset the cost a little bit. And we're at a point right now where we can actually get revenue and put money in the bank. So.
I thought your budget was 2.8.
Yeah, it doesn't completely offset the cost of law enforcement. Not now.
It certainly helps supplement, you know, your staff. Basically, your staff costs are reduced because you have this added revenue.
And that's just with 20 that we've consistently had when we're not over full with county for the last 5 years.
Which has been wonderful. Yeah. A good fiscal management. Do we want to move on to item E, or are we still have need more questions for our architect and sheriff?
I think we're probably done with D, aren't we?
No action on D.
No, there's no action.
No,
so.
E.
Right.
Yeah,
except
E.
Except for public comment.
Except for any public comment. Like I said, if anybody here wants to talk regarding the plan.
Well, we'll as for Shy Battery and our contract, we'll be waiting to hear from the commission regarding moving forward with any design.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay,
appreciate all the hard work. This really helps kind of get some numbers to look at.
Okay.
Any, like I said, once again, any public comment on the architect? Otherwise, we move to item E. Item E is board to approve or not approve hiring a construction manager to move forward on the jail phase 2 project.
Good afternoon, board. Brian Mollendorf, Jared Schleifer. We're both with the White Scum out of Lavista, Nebraska, 68128. We were requested to come back again this month. Quite frankly, I don't know if you're moving forward with a jail or not. Should you decide to, one of the many reasons for hiring a construction manager is that upfront coordination and decision-making that takes place as the design continues. So you're able to move faster through the construction phase. The other aspect is really looking at the long lead items that I know Shy Battery said that the construction was about 12 months long. I actually think it's longer because of some of the materials that are farther out. Using this process allows us to potentially order those materials much sooner in the process before the entire design is done. We can do it in chunks up front, which will help accelerate the overall construction. I know you've had a lot of discussion already today as it relates to the jail, but we are here to answer any of your questions.
You did the jail in Washington County. You worked with that?
Yes.
How, and that project's completed?
Yes.
How much did it go over estimate? Or did it?
It did not.
It was exactly?
They finished under their bond amount.
Was it, what was the gross, what do they call it, the highest, there's a term, highest expected cost or something, there's a term.
Guaranteed maximum price?
Guaranteed maximum price.
The guaranteed maximum price is based off of the drawings and the contingency that we set with mm-hmm. the clients and mm-hmm. the designers at the time, and the GMP was right at $21 million at the end of it.
Okay, because I did talk to some folks down there, and I got the impression that there were some out-of-scope things that happened when they connecting the building to their facility, and it ended up being 19 to 21, when they went from 19 to 21 as far as out-of-scope.
Originally, the bond was for 88 beds, mm-hmm. and part of our process, I'm working with the sheriff, mm-hmm. he wanted 120 beds, and we were able to find a way to give them 120 beds and still be at the bond amount for 88. That's part of what the CM does.
Okay.
And through that process, so we were able to do what we call value analysis and help them achieve that by maybe changing mechanical system, changing electrical system, changing how the overall size of the project even. I mean, mm-hmm. we built from property line there, and we were still able to find a way to give them 120 beds because we didn't want to have to
the county didn't want to have to go back to its taxpayers and say, we're out of room again. We knew we were going to be out of room. Now we need to come in and be another disturbance to the county and the community around it. We want to make sure we can get the 120 beds done and done the first time. So that's what we were able to do. So that's part of the reason why some say the guaranteed maximum price is supposed to be 19. Mm-hmm. And part of that wasn't just the jail facility. It was an addition for the county. And the sheriff, there's a whole new sheriff's office. There's a whole new county court. There was a renovation to the existing courthouse on second and third floor as well as first. And then there was another renovation. So that with all the renovation pieces and being involved in existing construction, there was just a lot of
add-ons basically.
Yep. Okay. So that's part of the guaranteed maximum. That's okay. Part of our job was to identify what a good contingency was for the job, and we said 2%. Mm-hmm. And we were able to maintain that. Okay. Now, when we talk about the soft costs and items that would happen outside of it, anytime that there is a major scope change, mm-hmm. And for us, when we had to deal with a groundwater problem, that's considered a major scope change. It delayed the project for 6 months. But at the same time, we were able to utilize the contingency within the job and still finish it for them at their bond amount. So, those items like that, mm-hmm. as well as some existing waterproofing that we had to take care of, that was part of us being an advocate for the county and making sure that we did what we said we were going to do. So.
Thanks for the clarification. I knew there was some unique things that transpired in that transaction.
So we got, at the last meeting, we had the soil samples being taken care of.
They drilled on Monday.
Did they?
So well, I don't know if they wrote the report yet.
I don't know.
It takes them about a month to get that done.
So I guess our next step is here we are with these gentlemen here for the third time. We need to figure out if we are going to hire them to move forward, I guess.
Well, I've always, just my two cents on the whole thing is, I've always looked at the forecast for what potentially could happen. I've seen it for just a little over 10 years now at the county, and you all know as well as I do, we never have enough money to do all the roads, to do everything that we'd want to do. There's just never enough. As a matter of fact, there's been times where we didn't know if we were going to make payroll, let alone, doing some other projects, doing an M Avenue or paving the road to the golf course or, a half a dozen other big, dollar things. The sheriff, and I don't know anything about jails, but I'm looking at the numbers and how it all plays out. The 30-month contract to me is the key part of it, and that's going to pay for all, if not all, the majority of the costs of the jail. We're going to have extra at the end of that. We're going to have extra employees. We're going to have extra insurance. We're going to have extra things. Those numbers have all been run, and we all have had those. And at the end of let's just say 2 years down the road, we may end up with the potential for $1 million in revenue that we don't have today. So if we had that, what we could start making some, we and future boards, wouldn't that be a great problem to have? Is what are we going to do with the money? I should rephrase everything I just said and put lower in property taxes as number one on that list, and then projects maybe coming into play after that. I don't see a lot of, obviously there's some risks with any project like this. So, Troy, your comment about we're spending money, yes, we are, but if we bond it, you know, we can push bond payments out to where we might not even have to make an interest payment for 6 months down the road. We can do that with our finances. So,
but that adds to our cost at some time, doesn't it?
Exactly, yes. So that's the part where, okay, there are some risks, some things we take on. But I see it, and Joan, bless her heart, is as conservative as there is when it comes to forecasting numbers that we have. She's done the work. She's guessed low, but at the end of that, it's $1 million a year, around $1 million a year. We don't have that problem today. So, you know, whether the jail gets built, I don't know, but you know, I think it's a, you know, from the sheriff's, it's a unique, obviously a unique project, and I'll admit there are risks. However, at the end of it, I see, you know, the potential to do some things, because we're not going to all of a sudden just have in 2 years have $1 million to start paving roads and doing that. But what if we had $1 million for 10 years in a row? You know, what would we do with that? So, you know, I see, to me, the 30 month is the key. That's going to generate and pay for most of the jail. And then everything, yeah, and you're right, Larry, what you bring up about, well, what if they don't send us any inmates? Well, that's down the road. But what I think the other gentleman, or maybe the sheriff mentioned is, if worst case scenario that happens, we got a new jail.
But Bob, here's the thing. It costs us money to house these people. If you only use $50 a day,
mm-hmm.
and we get 150, mm-hmm. it goes from 11 million something down to about 7 million.
Mm-hmm.
See, our income, actual income, mm-hmm. after cost.
But
so we're not paying for the jail that 30 months.
I think you got to look at it as well, though, is if there's 117 beds and they have.
If,
hear me out here.
Yeah.
And then they have 50 people in here, okay,
yeah.
in the new jail. They're still paying for the other extra 67 beds at $150 a day. Okay, so.
Not after 30 months or not?
To the 30 months to be able to pay for the jail. To be able to,
right.
Do you think if the feds are going to, okay, and everything's a risk. I don't give two shits if we get up in the morning, your feet hit the ground, everything's a risk. We get that. Right, your business is a risk. Everything's a risk. But I'm saying is, if they're gonna invest this money, okay, into Dakota County in a jail, you think after 30 months, if they invest $12,000, they're just gonna say, we need to go to another county and maybe build another jail, and maybe, you know, invest another $15 million. Who knows about the government? Okay, who knows? But I can't see them doing that, because we've had a good rapport, we've had a bad rapport. Now that we got the right administration people that are running the jail, our revenue numbers are back. I'm telling you, I used to see that at $1 million, $1.2 million, and then all of a sudden, bad things happened, and it went down to $200,000 a year. Okay, now the money's back to $800,000 a year, roughly give or take, for the federal inmates. So I'm telling you, if we lose those federal inmates,
so if we're making $1 million a year now the way we're doing it, why would we build a whole new jail to make $1 million?
Well, it's because it's going to be
$2 million.
No, I don't think we're not making $1 million.
We're making about $50,000 a month, I think.
Yeah,
that's the revenue. Yeah.
That's the revenue standpoint of it. Is what that
we're
is.
That's not making.
Yeah, that's cash flow is just trying to help cash flow.
Oh, I see.
We're talking
the rest of everything.
We're talking net profit. Or I don't know if you want to call it a profit. But
offset, yeah.
Net.
Supplement to your budget and taxpayers.
Right. It is a profit.
At the end?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, it is a profit.
So
it doesn't pay for all the jail. It doesn't pay for all the jailers. It just would pay for that particular piece of it, that unit,
what?
That addition. It doesn't pay for all the jailers in the current jail. I don't think.
I think the taxpayers should vote on it.
I do too.
If it's this kind of money, I don't want to have this on my shoulders. Let the taxpayers make the decision.
But the taxpayers' money isn't involved, is it?
It could be down there.
It very well could be, because it could be a bad investment later. We could lose money.
How?
There's a lot of blue sky.
Not if.
They could close in 120 days, and we're not guaranteed anybody afterwards. That's in black and white.
Every contract.
Isn't it?
Every contract. Every contract has a termination clause.
Well, why is the $14 million under the county debt rather than the federal debt? I mean, why aren't they fronting the money, I guess?
This is what I would like, I don't know, we can sit, again, it seems like every week we've been in this conversation or every meeting.
They're paying way more than what it's worth.
This is what I would like to do. We'll just figure it out, and I know we could talk and talk and talk and talk, but this is what I want to do. I want to make a motion to approve, to hire these people, okay, Jared and Brian's company, to be the construction manager, and I guess if it goes the opposite direction, we'll just have to figure out how we're going to pay for the jail, the existing jail, how we're going to figure that to cash flow, per the sheriff. Right, Sheriff?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So anyways, that's my motion.
Scott made a motion to approve the construction manager for jail phase two.
I'll second.
Okay, Scott and Bob. Any other discussion or questions or any public comment at this point?
And you wouldn't want somebody local to be the construction manager?
Or general contractor?
General contractor.
I really wouldn't, because of this reason. And Larry, you've been in this business a long time. And how many times have you been around where Gillis or Steve Harris, you know, they're out of town doing jobs? And I've always questioned that. Why does one person that you're local that you can do a job, why are they down in Timbuktu doing a job when they could be here doing a job? And you got somebody from Timbuktu in town doing a job that I'm sitting there thinking, it doesn't make any sense. I know it's all about the numbers, who bids what, but it's just, to me, you think that there'd be more local construction workers doing road work, and there's not. You know, there really isn't. So I don't think it's uncommon that if we hire people from La Vista, Nebraska, to come up here to be the construction manager, I don't think that's abnormal. I really don't.
You know the two guys that bid on that asphalt work today?
Yeah, they're local. I'm aware of that.
I know.
Yeah, and that's a quick in and out job. I'm talking when you're talking a month's job, and I know you know this. That
sometimes it's better to go elsewhere to make more money.
True. I'm sure. That's what I mean. It's all about the money. That's what I said. It's about the dollar amount is what it's all about. I understand that. But I've always questioned it myself.
Why is the guy up Norfolk building the jail in Sioux City? Clearly not.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. Well, they're $1 million higher, but on $40 million, it's not a lot of money.
Maybe Clinger's not interested in making a jail.
They probably pay more than that in taxes in 6 months.
Probably.
Sioux City.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the construction manager. Any other questions or comments from the board, the public, whatever? Okay, should we do a roll?
Janet.
No.
Scott.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Larry.
No.
Troy.
No.
Okay, so I just want to make one point here real quick. Okay, I just want to make one point. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Me as a commissioner, if this ever comes back up on the agenda again, okay, when it does, regardless if I'm across the street at the post office or if I'm in Phoenix or if I'm in Canada, I'm not going to be here for the conversation, because I'm not wasting anybody else's time nor my time to talk about the job. That's where I stand on that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I would miss it.
I figured you wouldn't.
That's
okay, we are miscellaneous and old business.
She wasn't here.
Jolene Goebbels is not here today, but there is a report by...
Larry, will you do the road report?
Go ahead. You know more about it than I do.
No. You're the road master.
You're the guru.
No, he is. There's nothing to it. You read the thing. There's nothing.
Okay, I'll read it real quick.
No change from last week.
Yeah, no change. Okay, so total maintenance hours 177. Okay, overtime hours 0. Tree and debris removal is 49. Willis Bridge, they had maintenance of 95 hours. Culverts and road projects, 14 hours on North Bluff, 11 hours on 260th, and 46 and a half hours on 142nd and Elgin. Wonder what they did there. Do you know what they did there?
No, I didn't. I've been down there twice in the past week. I never saw nothing there.
Well, I'm just in there 46 and a half hours. That's a lot of time, and that's just a bird's eye out my front door. I seen them do some blading out there, and that was about it.
Yeah, so that's about 2 hours.
That's what I mean. You know, the 46 and a half hours.
That's a week, yeah.
Maybe 142nd now, maybe they're cutting, are they trying to cut it down? Or
where's the 142nd? Right there at the intersection with the old school?
Yep.
I didn't see anything down there.
No,
I just been there this morning.
I'm curious, so.
They put bridge plank down somewhere.
That's up below us.
See that road eventually when you head north,
yeah.
They've kept cutting it.
Yeah, right.
So it needs to be built back up. So I haven't been down that way, but I should have noticed that something's going on.
I was just down there this morning and
nothing different. Well, what did I find out from Jolene where the 46 and a half hours comes, but
I think it's a mistake myself.
Well, garbage pickup is 2 hours, gravel hauling 25 hours, and then gravel on the roads, three quarter clean is 327.27 tons. And sign and repair and barricading is 37. And it looks like gravel is Lake Iwana and Gateway Drive.
Great. All right.
So I didn't mention to you, but I told Brent to look into that rock they got down Wilson Concrete.
Okay.
They got about 6,000 ton there.
Okay.
And we should get some of the really good stuff.
Okay.
A lot less of that dust.
Okay, item B. Board to discuss and approve or not approve a part-time, approximately 20 hours a week clerical position for the Veteran Service Officer. Is he coming to the meeting or do we just approve this?
I'm here.
Oh, he's there. Oh, there. Oh, hey. I didn't even look. Sorry. Bill? Yeah, you want to kind of give us a little update on what you're looking for in this position here?
Well, 20 hours is about right. Mm-hmm. I've had the other woman that worked there for me for almost 4 or 5 years, volunteer,
okay.
And she can't do it anymore.
Okay. We loved her, didn't we?
Okay.
Yeah, she's got problems. She's starting that
dialysis,
yeah.
Okay. So you're going to post for a new position for 20 hours.
And the increase of the total 10 years, like, I don't know whether you weren't here last time I read it. I increased the income into the county by $4,361,000 in the last 10 years. So it's over $8 million right now.
Good job. I think you definitely deserve a...
I mean, everybody doesn't know where that money goes. I can't tell you, but mm-hmm. they got to spend some of it here in Dakota County. Maybe it's paying their taxes. Maybe it's...
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'd make a motion to approve adding a part-time clerical position for our Veteran Service Officer.
I'll second.
Okay. Any other comments or questions for Bill regarding his position? Is it like just weekdays?
20 hours I could do like a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, but okay. I would kind of like leave it up to her a little bit, you know, so maybe she's got kids or a lot of other situations.
Hey, you guys will figure it out. Nice job. All right.
Okay, yep. Janet made a motion, seconded by Bob. Was that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go ahead and call roll. I think it's a great idea.
I came by a couple times earlier, but them guys were really long-winded.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Thank you.
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. And Dawn, she's here. Dawn Bosquet has information, treasurer, distress warrants for 2020 report. For the collection in 2022.
Does anybody have any questions regarding this? It should be in your packet.
It's in the packet. I think it's for the end of the packet here.
We presented Randy with the form, all the documentation regarding the distress warrant on Friday. And of course, there's 226 distress warrants issued, totaling the amount that's due over $100,000. That includes tax, interest, and fees. And the parcels are attached to your report. Right.
Do his work?
There's no attachment.
I guess I heard, I don't see a report, but.
Oh, there's an attach?
No, there's no attachment.
Oh, I thought it was attached to yours. No?
So this is a, so attached would have been the list of parcels that you're collecting on. So just
yeah, well, there's
legal
a
descriptions
list, yeah.
And yeah.
I thought it was attached to your report. It is not. I apologize for that.
I.
So, but needless to say,
general,
you got the dollar amounts and you got the, you got Randy involved. And
right. Yeah. I can provide the list of the parcels too.
I think yeah, we trust you to go get that handled
Thank
up.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'll make a motion to allow county treasurer to move forward with her distress warrant process.
I'll second.
Okay. Any other questions for Dawn?
And we should be back fully staffed Monday.
All right.
Yeah.
All the babies are, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. They're all here, but now they're all sort of having sicknesses and runny noses.
No,
so
no,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
No,
yeah, you know that. Thanks, Dawn.
Okay. Motion by Janet, second by Troy to.
I don't think there's any allow. It doesn't allow for any action.
Oh, no action.
Okay. All right.
Just go forward.
No, she's just going to do it. Okay.
Okay.
We're down to number five, which is Commissioner Committee Reports. Anybody have any meetings or updates related to their particular areas?
We were supposed to have a board, the health board, last week, and it got canceled till this Wednesday. So I probably won't be there because I'm heading west. So I know I wish I could be there because everything's new with the board and everything. So
Oh, the new regrouped board.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Teresa mentioned today that they'll have some names for us at the next meeting
for the
board
to approve the
reconstruction.
Yeah. Okay. Because there was a few new people.
Perfect.
That were stepping, our people were stepping off. Yeah.
Perfect. Any other meetings that anybody's gone to?
I went to the VFW Tuesday, I think. I have been mentioning to folks, you know, about our ARPA funds, you know, those guidelines still seem to be changing.
Daily? Weekly?
Well, a lot. But I think, you know, hopefully in the end we'll have some good things to do with those.
Good projects. That'll be exciting to put some, good projects.
I'd like to add, we definitely should look at, I know we've done a lot of chip and seal on Highway 20 coming out of that. That probably should be looked at like on an overlay.
The old highway?
Yeah, well,
old highway 20.
Because it's so rough. It's so rough. And the other day when it rained, I mean, it's going to become a hazard for hydroplaning and et cetera. It just holds a ton of water.
Scott drives hard.
I tried getting the speed limit to 45 one time, they wouldn't do it, but I think it's too fast out there anyways. You know, especially in front of Stapleton's and C&H and all the above.
Is it 55?
Yeah.
55.
Yeah. Obviously it didn't help the matters that I about got killed at the intersection.
No.
But anyways, needless to say.
But that stretch of Elgin right there isn't very good either. As a matter of fact, it's going to start breaking up. I mean, it's breaking up now. But it's going to start getting major potholes in.
And I'm thinking, if I'm not mistaken, that was probably done, the overlay, the original was done in 2004 when they bagged it. And then they overlaid it, it must have been 2014.
First time around, chip seal in the last couple of years.
Yeah, the 2014, I think, is when they did the overlay. But needless to say, I just hate to see it become a liability, I guess, because it is rough.
From where to where? I mean,
all the way from Keene Auto Sales, all the way out to
the
Martins Airport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Larry, you mentioned one time that the road on North Shore, where there's that crack in the middle.
Yeah.
What, I don't know. How do we get that?
Oh,
was
addressed?
That from Mid-America?
Yeah, but they had issues underneath too. They didn't get a good seam there in the center.
So I don't know if that's a temporary. You know, you fill
no,
that and
yeah,
then
yeah.
that and then that.
Are you
fixes?
Talking down the middle, like
yeah?
That?
Yeah, it's getting...
If you remember, we did the overlay, and then Mid-America came in there with no type of permits or anything, and started cutting, and then...
But it's beneath that, too. It's down below. I mean, it all started, I think, down the first overlay. And then the top's peeled back. It's only about that thick on the top, so...
Did the Highway 20...
So is that like a minor repair, just doing that middle?
Well, it's a pain in the ass. You go in there and patch it every year, and it's going to be right back in about two. You know, and it should be fixed, though. But our guys can do that.
So that one you have to bid? Put it on the bid, or do...
No, I don't think so.
Our guys can do it?
Not that little thing. He talked about it. I mean, our guys can do it.
Okay.
The whole Highway 20 would have to be bid, though.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Probably in the spring.
In the spring?
Yeah. Back to your deal, Scott. The fortunate thing about Old 20 is not breaking up yet. They're not having to be out there patching it all the time, you know? That's the only thing that's... I know exactly what you're saying, because my other truck would want me...
All over the place.
All over the place. Now, this truck don't do that, because it's got narrow tires.
Do you guys have to maybe go out with Brent and take a look at that, then?
They'd have to mill it. It's gotta be milled.
It would be milled down and re-layered.
Okay.
It's a major item.
Just grind it down and overlay.
All right. And I, Joan and I and Bob listened to, was it the audit checkout? I think that was just this last week. Some reconciliation issues that probably need to just get worked out. Things are moving in the right direction with some of those reconciliations, which is good. And we have some distributions, homestead distributions, personal property tax distribution corrections that need to be fixed. And, yeah. It was, I think, moving in the right direction, but there's always going to be some things to work on. Always things to work on. The sheriff and the treasurer's office, probably, they handle the bulk of the cash. So that's where separation of duties and that sort of thing is important. Anything else? All right. Mail and emergency business? Anything? Oh, yeah.
Put a little information in your packet if you want to look at it. The completed levies with all the other counties I now have received, and so that's your final certified levy. And then I put a little, this is what taxes you would pay and what district is attached to that.
This is impressive. I mean, a lot of people moved their levies down this time. I mean, it really is. Our taxpayers should see the benefit, I hope.
Yeah, you get a big farm or even a medium size, you get that levy down, that's huge.
Yeah, it really does make a
huge
difference.
Huge, huge money.
Values go up, levies should go down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Any other business?
You would think.
Fourth?
I guess in talking to a couple of local contractors, they're the ones that told me that can't precast out until then, late next year. My thought is, okay, so we go out there and build the footings and get that part done and wait for these panels, the weeds to be so big you get in there, you can't even see what you're doing come time when you do be a precast. You have to go in there with a helicopter and hold the thing or something. And I don't see that another year's going to make a whole lot of difference. Yeah, I don't know. And then there's too much talk about how much revenue it brings in. But too often, I don't hear how much it costs us to have them there. Everybody's talks like $150 a day. That's a lot of money. Well, we got to take care of that guy.
Yeah, we have all those numbers, too.
Well, I've read that thing more than once, over and over again, about what they pay for and what they don't pay. Mm-hmm. And you take the prisoner over to the hospital or something, to a dentist, and they didn't want him to have dental care in the hospital, the way it read to me. It's not a win-win thing completely.
Should we call for an adjournment?
Yeah.
Okay, 4:35. Adjourn.
Early.
4:33, I guess.
Early.
I got 4:34.
Okay, 4:34, you're right, Joan. And we just switched on me.
Okay, thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, I will.